great privilege to be with you once again to really share the Word of God with you. I will remind you of where we ended up or what we were preaching on last week. We're preaching on encounter, presence, and power. Every person needs an encounter with the living God if we want to press on in our faith and have a deeper relationship with Him and to move in His presence and operate in His supernatural power. Today I want to encourage you that you are able to walk in His presence if you are willing, and you'll be able to operate in the power of God if you are ready. And I hope and I believe that today you are going to be ready to move and operate in the supernatural power of God because you are a willing people. Now let me bring you up to speed and let us read from what some of the disciples of Jesus were doing. Let's turn our Bible to Acts chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. We are reading from New King James Version of the Bible. And I read, it said, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirit, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. There was great joy in that city. So I want you to understand that when the gospel is preached to unbelievers, Samaria was a place where people neither worship God or know God, or they think they know, they have a sense of God, but they did nothing about it. Just like our country, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, even some who go to church call themselves Christians, but nothing is happening. They're not even sure where they stand with God. That was Samaria. Literally, it's a place of backsliders, it's a place of unbelievers, it's a place of people who are far from God. And Philip went to preach the gospel to them. And there was great joy in that place. And the multitude with one accord together, no dissension. I mean, they heeded, that means they listened to and put into action the words or the things spoken by Philip. And what did they hear? They heard and they also saw the miracles. They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and that he paid for our sins, and that anyone who knows that you are walking in sin, if you turn to him, he will accept you and he will bring you back unto himself, and he will exchange your sin for his righteousness, and you allow his Holy Spirit to come upon you. And that will be a fundamental and defining moment in your life and an encounter that is beyond recognition. And he preached that gospel to them, so they heard that gospel. But then they didn't only hear, they also saw something. They saw the miracles which Philip did. They saw the miracles which he did. And what miracles did they see? They saw unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice. And they came out of many who were possessed. So when the gospel is preached, part of our preaching is that God has anointed us to preach that people with unclean spirit will be set free, people who are possessed and will be set free from this unclean spirit. And many who were paralyzed and lame were also healed. There is healing when the gospel is preached. So today, I want you to have that mindset that God wants you to begin to preach the gospel with healings, with casting out of demons. And we are training you as a church. We are preaching and provoking you and challenging you that these are the things that the people of God did, and you can do that way. So encounter enables us to walk in God's manifest presence. And the presence releases the power. power of God. You see, Philip was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he walked, having an encounter with Jesus Christ, he walked in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit released power over his life and was able to do the things that he did in the name of Jesus Christ. Philip would have been one of the 120 people who were in the upper room praying, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. But in order to serve God faithfully, this is what I will say to you, that he was one of those people who was a person of integrity, a person of integrity, a person full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit, because we live, when we have the Holy Spirit, the Bible said you should be full of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because Philip, at the time that he was in Samaria, you know something, there has been persecution of the church in Jerusalem. There has been a pandemic in that area, literally, that their lives were in danger. But he did not cave in, neither did he run away, but then he went out to Samaria. And guess what? The Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit. That was an evidence of the presence of God upon him, and evidence of the power that was upon him was the miracle that he did. So here we see that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, when you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 3, I mean, there was a time in the church that there was difficulty, there was commotion. There got to be some social justice in that church. And they were some people were being discriminated against, some people were being sidelined for the division of food and all that thing, all the generosity of the church that had come in. Some people were not being given their fair share, and there was commotion and they were complaining. And the apostle said, set aside people who are of integrity. That means people of great reputation. That is the word they use. And people who are full of the Holy Spirit. And people who are full of wisdom. That means these things, integrity, full, being full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom is necessary when it comes to serving in the house of God. So we are called to be volunteers in the service of God. And in the Baptist sense, or in the Christian sense, we call these people deacons, right? The deacons were called to serve at table, to serve the church, you see. But they were not called to actually monitor constitutions of churches. They were not called to, be custodians of as it were, our beliefs. They were called to be custodians of the belief and the practice of the Word of God. And therefore today, whatever church you come from, whether you're a Baptist, a Catholic, whatever denomination, I just want you to know that if you're a volunteer or a deacon, you are called to look and to walk in the supernatural power of God. You need the power to transform lives, to set people free from the kingdom of darkness into the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 8, we had one volunteer who was Stephen, one of the people who were called to be deacons or were called to serve in the church. Guess what? The Bible said he was full of faith and power. Say that. He was full of faith and power. So when we are serving in church, other conditions or other things that we must possess is to be full of faith and power. I've talked about being a person of integrity or great reputation, being a person full of the Holy Spirit, and being a person of wisdom. Now you've got to be full of faith and power. So when you are calling people into volunteers and people are not prepared to be people of integrity, do not call them into serving in your church. Do not call them into serving, because they are not worth serving in the church. They will not bring good reputation in the church. Neither will they bring wisdom. Neither will they be full of the Holy Spirit. Neither will they be full of faith and power. You do not need that. So today we come back to the message that we want to bring to you, looking at Philip in Samaria. Now, what we saw is that there was demonstration of power. You see, and when we talk about demonstration of power, hear this. We know, we hear only about Jesus Christ's miracles and power when the Holy Spirit descended on him. When the Holy Spirit descended upon him, we saw power. When the Holy Spirit had not descended upon him, we did not hear Jesus Christ doing miracles. Of course, we knew he went to the temple and he literally opened the scripture to people. That is revelation. But apart from revelation, we need to operate in power. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus Christ, he did miracles and he operated in power. Similarly, disciples, having gathered in the upper room and praying, waited for the promise of the Father to come upon them. And when he came, he released so much power that the disciples became effective and unstoppable. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit changed their lives completely to be different persons. Yes, they had revelation, they had boldness, they were operating in miracles, and there were signs and wonders by their hands. So today I want you to understand this phrase that I've coined for you, that power comes with the encounter. Say that after me. Power comes with the encounter. Anytime you have an encounter with God, the presence of God needs to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is poured upon you. You carry God with you. You must be, and you should be, just like Philip, be a God carrier so that you can demonstrate the power of God. So power comes with the encounter. Having an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a whole new, it's a whole new ball game and phenomenon in the Christian's life. It is a game changer in our lives. The emphasis is the tongues of fire that settled on each one of them. We read that from Acts chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. Each person had their own experience, and underline the word experience. Each person had their own experience of tongues of fire. So that means fire entered everybody's belly. So if you are a believer and you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not only about speaking in tongues, but it is fire of God welling up in your belly. The fire of God, the Spirit of God filling you so that there's fire in your belly to reach out to people for Christ and to reach out for them in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what it is about. Each encounter, you see, should move us to a whole new level of boldness and power. Anytime the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it should move you into a whole new level of boldness and power. Philip was one of said disciples. When they left Jerusalem, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit because we leak. As you walk about, you leak. As you get in your conversations, you leak. As you do, things which is not glorifying God, you leak. As you don't connect with God, you leak. So every now and then, we must be full of the Holy Spirit's power. That is why we say be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or people who go to church or who have studied the Bible, they coin so many wonderful words like infilling of the Holy Spirit, refilled of the Holy Spirit, rebaptizing with the Holy Spirit. Whatever it is, it's the same. They are saying that be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just like your kettle in the kitchen. Whenever that you pour water into the teacup, it goes down. Another person come and pour water in the teacup, it goes down. You got to refill that kettle. So that kettle, next time you can make a cup of tea, because you cannot make a cup of tea and boil in the kettle without any water in it. It will explode. So we have to build and make sure we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. So Philip was full of the Holy Spirit in power. Similarly, let's look at some of the examples of some of his people, his other disciples. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31, I'm reading from the New International Version, UK version, Anglicized version of the New International Version of the Bible. It reads, Acts 4, 29 to 31, it said, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Hallelujah. You see, the apostles were, or the disciples, Peter and John, were really being threatened that you cannot preach the gospel again. You probably can't sing in the church again. You cannot worship your God again. You can just go and sit there and do nothing. That is exactly what they were telling them. They said, John and Peter, don't preach in the name of Jesus Christ again. Just go and sit and do nothing. And they said, no, we're not having that. He said, God, listen to their threats. Listen to their threat and what they are saying. And consider it and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Instead, they said, we want to do more of what we are doing. We want to be bold. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be weak on the knees. We don't want to retreat into our shells. We want to stand out for God. So God, stretch out your hand and heal and perform. Guess what? That is what they said. God, we want to see signs and wonders. We want to see healing. We want you to perform signs and wonders through the holy name of Jesus Christ. And after they prayed, there was a shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. So effectively, they said, God, fill us with more power. Fill us with more power so that we can preach your gospel, so that we can do the things that you want us to do. So we see here the disciples, they did not cave in. They rather, they asked for more boldness. They were in essence asking for more power to overshadow them again. See, they had been baptized by the Holy Spirit not so long before. Probably only a matter of weeks or a month. And now they were encountering problems here. And when they came to, they said, now Holy Spirit, overshadow us again. Because they know they leak. As they go and perform miracles, they leak in power. As they teach, they leak in power. Because each time you preach the gospel, power comes out of you. Each time you speak to somebody about Jesus Christ, power comes out of you to effect something supernatural. So as power comes out of you, you've got to be refilled. You've got to be full of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be overshadowed again. So they were asking exactly what God should do for them. And so the Holy Spirit did. And the place was shaking. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. To overflow, the overflow of the Holy Spirit on us is that which makes us minister in power. When the Holy Spirit is overflowing in you, then you will minister in power. In other words, carrying the presence is a whole new experience, because the presence releases or unleashes power for ministry. Carrying the presence of God with you unleashes power for ministry. So at this point, I want you to hear this phrase and write it down. Powerless believers usually get paralyzed by adversity. Powerless believers usually get paralyzed by adversity. If you are powerless, when there's a problem in your life, you fall apart because there's no power in you. Because your power has been drained, by sometimes by encounter with people who are demonic, sometimes encounter with people who are ungodly. Sometimes the things that you hear in your ears drains the power out of you. You got to be filled with the power again. So we have to operate in the power of God, because powerless believers usually get paralyzed by adversity. If you don't want to be paralyzed by adversity, problems and issues around you, and the current pandemic situation, then you ought to be powerful. You got to be full of the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking the word of God to you today, and I'm provoking you. I'm challenging you to look at the gospel again and see what it says. Otherwise, we are very, very nice Christians, like once I used to be for over 40 years. That was what I was, a nice Christian. But yes, I'm still a nice Christian, but a powerful Christian, because the presence of God, I carry it with me. The disciples sought for God's presence. We likewise have to continuously be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill our purpose. There's nothing to replace a divine encounter, presence, and power in our lives. God planted us here with a purpose. Yet it is a purpose we can't accomplish without Him. Our true nature and personality will never come to fullness apart from His manifest presence. Learning to walk in His presence is at the center of our salvation and our calling. So this time I will say that everyone must have their own experiences, just like the people in the book of Acts, just like Philip. He had his own experiences. The encounter with the Holy Spirit, baptizing them on the day of Pentecost, he had an experience with people. Yes, together. But as he was alone in Samaria, as he stood in his ministry in Samaria, he had to have his own experiences, his own testimonies. So today, you and me must desire and seek to have our own testimonies and experiences of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can share. You cannot continue to share what Pastor Gideon has had, or Pastor Aaron, or somebody, a leader of the church has had. You've got to have your own experience to share. So our faith is experiential. Hear it again. Our faith is experiential. It's not just theoretical or knowledge. I preached about this before, but I want to remind you that being a Christian is an experiential, because there's a real transformation in your life, and that is an experience. And when that transformation comes, don't stop there. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill and refill you, carry His presence with you, and operate in power in addition to everything else that you like to do. So here we see that everyone must have their own experience. The Holy Spirit leads us into an understanding by experience. The Holy Spirit leads us to understanding by experience or experiences to help us realize our inheritance. So it is the experience that we have with the Holy Spirit that will lead us into our inheritances. If you are not having an experience with the Holy Spirit, you cannot get into your destiny and be fulfilled in your destiny or to enter into your inheritance. Sadly, many stop short of having a divine encounter and walk in His presence with power because they are either afraid or satisfied with their theology and doctrine. True learning comes in the experience, not the concept itself. You see, in our faith, true learning comes in the experience, not the concept. I have had a lot of true learning in seminaries, in other Bible colleges, and other conferences, and other teaching, seminars, and all sorts of things. I've had those experiences, but I've had those concepts and those learnings, but unless I put those things into experience, then the concept itself remains as it is, becomes just information. So let me address something for you guys. I mean, be thinking, we are a Baptist church. Why are we where we are? I thank God that God is not a Baptist, He is not a Catholic, He is not a Presbyterian, He is not non-denominational or denominational, Orthodox or non-Orthodox. Jesus Christ is Jesus. It's the same Jesus Christ we follow. Let us be biblical here. I've been there before. So now I'm telling you why we are here, where we are as a Baptist church and as Christians. We are still following what the Bible tells us, because as a Baptist, we pride ourselves of knowing Scripture and applying Scripture. So today, I want to challenge everyone, whatever denomination you are, you got to know Scripture and apply Scripture in your life. I'm not talking about Pentecostalism or charismatism or anything. Jesus was none of those things, but we are going to be what Jesus taught us to be. Hallelujah. So let me address where we are. You see, doctrine must be a wineskin. Doctrine must be a wineskin. That means we should have it and take it with us, but we have to take it and make sure that it is the right wineskin at the right time that we can. Because when you put new wine and old wineskin, it bursts. So doctrine must be a wineskin. Let me actually explain that to you. If our doctrines or views about God are not moving or yielding and allowing the Holy Spirit to move with it, the Church of Christ becomes powerless and irrelevant to the world around us. For an example, when Jesus Christ took some of the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was to have an encounter with them and to experience Jesus and to experience the Holy God. And he did not drag them down to go and have a doctrine of Elijah. Remember, we read from Mark chapter 1, verse 1 from the New King James Version. He said, and he, Jesus, said to them, surely, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present with power. Surely, Peter and John and James did not see death until they saw the kingdom of God come. in power. That means they did not see heaven coming down, but what they saw is the kingdom of power. The kingdom of power. Jesus took them down to pray with him, and there was a transfiguration. Jesus was transfigured. The Holy Presence, the Holy Spirit came upon him powerfully. And when it came, you know what these disciples were saying? Oh, Master, it is good that we are here. But remember, if you read it, you will come to understand that they were actually sleeping. Instead of praying with Jesus, they were sleeping. And when they woke up with sleep all over in their eyes, and now they felt that they could understand what was going on, they said, it was good that we're here. We can build, we can build a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for you, Elijah, and one for yourself. And Jesus said, you know what? Before they could finish, a crowd came to cover them. And a voice said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. So today I want you to listen to Jesus. As opposed to defending your monuments, as opposed to defending, as it were, the rules and the regulations that you've been brought up with, go back to the Bible. Be a proper Baptist who will go back to the Bible, take the Bible and preach the truth of it and practice the truth of it, and be a proper, whatever denomination you are, go to the Bible, take it, read it, and practice what is in it. That will make you a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Not building tabernacles and monuments and other things for Jesus Christ. He's not interested in that. God is not. That is why a cloud overshadowed them. Does that help you? I hope it did. So what God is saying, that we have to yield our doctrines to the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation so that we can live in the flow. Otherwise, these doctrines become monuments and we become stuck like Saul, the king of Israel, or like the Pharisees and the scribes. Because they were stuck in interpretation of the law and enforcement of the law. They could not see the kingdom of God. When Jesus Christ was performing miracles, they said, oh God, this is not in our doctrine. This is not in our interpretation. This is not what we have been taught at seminary. This is not what our pastors have taught us. This is not what our faith and our belief, has taught us. But what is your belief? Your belief must be based on scripture. Hallelujah. That is why I'm so excited that I'm a Baptist. I'm so glad that when I became a Christian at the age of 14, I became a Baptist, because what dragged me there was the Word of God. What dragged me there was the interpretation of the Word of God. And thank God, after 40 years plus, now what has actually dragged me to where I am and where my church is the experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. That is part of our doctrine. Hallelujah. Remember, God cannot take you beyond the level of your contentment. If you are content with where you are in your faith, if you are content with what you know and receive from God, you will not be able to move from where you are to where you ought to be. You cannot move in the supernatural power of God because you are stuck. If you are stuck in your contentment or in your doctrine, you will receive no new revelation. Because God wants us to have new revelation. Now, let us read what Jesus commanded his followers to do. We go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. What Jesus Christ told his disciples to do. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And we know that as Jesus Christ commanded his last statement in what we call the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20. He says, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So these are the things that he commanded them, but he said, teach them to observe all things. You see, not only lead people to Christ and leave them there, make them disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father. Baptize them in the name of the Son. Baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit. So baptize them in all these three, the Trinity. It's very, very important. This is not a subject for my teaching today, but I want you to know that we have to baptize in the Holy Spirit as well and teach them all things. But sadly, most of our churches, surely my own, I'm bringing in the denomination that I'm very proud of, they taught us so many things, but they did not teach me all things. And all things, including heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. I haven't cleansed a leper. Oh, yeah, of course I've cleansed a leper. I've prayed for somebody who was suffering from terrible, terrible, incurable skin disease in United Kingdom to be healed. So I have actually seen all these things in my life. So I have fulfilled scripture. What about you? Are you going to fulfill scripture in the name of Jesus Christ? Many are, however, happy with a gospel that is only intellectual and appealing, which will not challenge people's faith, which will not provoke people's faith, but leave them where they are in their comfort zone. But the world is longing for a message which they can experience. The world is looking for an experience. That is why people challenge you and they say, okay, there is no God because we can't see God, we can't feel God, we can't experience God. Because you are not demonstrating what they can experience. When you demonstrate what people can experience, then they will sit up. You see, their argument is just flimsy anyway, because Corona has proved them wrong. That they don't see Corona, they don't see the virus, and yet they are running scared and they are falling over themselves and they don't know what to do. Yes, so the argument doesn't wash at all. So yes, that even makes us stronger to experience, to espouse our theology to people. While others are focused on social gospel, we should, however, be reminded that the aim of social gospel is to prepare our hearts for the supernatural gospel. Hear that again. You see, many people say, oh, but then the church has stopped. I mean, most churches have stopped. I mean, feeding the sick and the hungry, doing this and doing that, tea and coffee and doing all sort of things. We haven't stopped. We still do them. But the reality is that preaching the social gospel, doing all those nice and good things is good enough. But then if you leave people where they are, they will forever be there. Just continue giving a homeless person by the roadside pennies or pounds, whatever you give them, and continue giving them. 10 years time, you come and find them there. But when you say in the name of Jesus Christ, like Peter and John did at the beautiful gate, then when you do a miracle in their lives, whatever is bothering them has brought them down to that point, they will be healed of it, and they will get up from their destitute situation, hopeless situation, and they will be restored, and something good will happen. So the aim of the social gospel, hear it again, the aim of we doing social gospel is to introduce and bring and prepare people's hearts for the supernatural gospel in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You see, let me bring this last bit to conclude for you. He said, what shall we do then, Pastor Gideon, having spoken so much for about another 30 or so minutes? What shall we do? We have to yield ourselves to God. To operate in the supernatural, to operate in power, you have to yield yourself to God. Yielding means surrender yourself completely. You recognize the presence of God and give way for Him to overshadow you. Say in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, you see, this is how they describe Jesus Christ. Said, God, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, Jesus Christ was even doing social gospel. He went about doing good, but he was also doing something else. Their hearts were prepared as he did good. For what? For the supernatural gospel. He was healing them because Holy Spirit power was upon him, and he was setting free all those who were oppressed by the devil. He was casting out demonic oppression, depression, whatever it is. What made Jesus a different man was because he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit to use him. This requires obedience. Jesus obeyed the Father completely, and we should obey the Father completely. This requires holiness. Jesus Christ, he was a man without sin. And I'm not saying that you can be without sin because we are in this world, but then you can make the effort to run away from sin and not get into sinful behavior. So holiness, obedience and holiness in your life, obedience to the Father and holiness in your life is very important. God will allow us to carry as much of his presence as we are willing to jealously guard. If you are willing to jealously guard his presence, you've got to be obedient to God. You've got to be holy in your life. See, let me quote Apostle Bill Johnson in his book, The Resting Place. He says that there is an environment created in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in which holiness become the normal expression of a people who are bathed in His presence. If you want to be bathed in the presence of God, then you got to walk in holiness. And you have to literally guard this outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life so that you can express the will of God and the power of God. Hey, we are in changing times, guys. We are in changing times, and we cannot continue to put new wine into old wineskin, for it will burst. So this is the message for you today to encourage you, for you to know that God is interested in you. Shall we say amen and amen?